Happy Monday, everybody. I'm your host, Robert Karpeles. We are joined today not by Dominic D'Angelo. We are joined by the Paul Heyman profanity-laced brother, Marcus D'Angelo. Marcus, how are you?
I'm good, man. I've learned a couple new swears that I'm going to bring to the show today. We're going to talk about some championship belt changes. I couldn't be worse.
You can swear. Let's not go down there. So before we get it, we got the show. So Dom is on a train right now, heading back from Philly. He's finally leaving that cesspool of a town after attending about 75 different wrestling events over the course of 4 days. I'm sure he smells great. But right before we get on, Marcus is like, I've been training to wrestle and I wanted to hear this story. And then we had to do this stupid show, like for all of you, for like the thousands of you tuning in, interrupted our one-on-one conversation. So
you guys
can just eavesdrop. But Marcus, so you're legit doing wrestling training.
I am. So, you know, I started podcasting with Jake Roberts. He was my first podcast in late 2022. And I'm starting to pick up momentum now as a podcast host. I do it with Jake and Ted DiBiase and Hacksaw Jim Duggan. And so, like, I'm starting to get people come up to me and, you know, notice me and recognize me. So I'm like, okay, how do I take advantage of this? And so one of my thoughts was, what if I begin wrestling and we can film it and make like a little documentary series out of it, almost like George Plimpton's Paper Lion, where, you know, he was a journalist who went and played for the Lions.
Yes.
So that's kind of the thing that I'm trying to do. We're going to document, you know, me as a 37-year-old new parent out there taking bumps and beating myself up. So, yeah, last night I was unable to see Raw live because I was training, but I did get caught up. So I'm excited to talk about it.
So who are you training with? Are you allowed to divulge this secret?
I am. The really incredible people at International Wrestling Cartel here in Pittsburgh. They train the likes of Wardlow, Britt Baker, and many numerous names of people who are working at a really high level right now. And you can see why. You know, you guys will see it in this footage that we're going to be showing. But I mean, top-notch training, real emphasis on safety and emphasis on character development. I mean, they honestly just couldn't be any better. And I'm really lucky to be working with them.
I hope, like Wardlow and Britt Baker, you'll also not be used on Dynamite ever.
Oh man, that's the hope, right? You get the check and you get to stay home.
that's literally the career. For a while, I'm like, the career you want to have was Zack Ryder in WWE. You don't have to worry about being a main event guy. They're going to use you because you get a pop, you sell merchandise, you have your show, and you're probably going to have a job for life. Now my dream is to be Keith Lee. You don't have to show up. Like, occasionally you're in the background of another company's Hall of Fame video.
Yep.
You can do voiceover work, but that's pretty much it. We got a lot of stuff to talk about here. Yesterday we went extra long. It was an hour. It was an important show, if I can, you know, put my head up my own ass there for a minute, talking about all of Mania. But we got to talk the Raw after Mania. I'm like in the Dom role now. My voice is too low and I don't look like Caillou. So I'm trying very hard to, you know, well, you know, also, guys, we're going to touch on the Hall of Fame. We're going to talk about Seth Rollins' hiatus status. And Damian Priest re-signs with WWE because he never says WWE. He says WWE. By the way, shout out to Dominic D'Angelo, who says, looking good, dudes. He's watching us from a train right now.
You know, this guy, he could be doing this right now. He's just being lazy. He's probably home.
He could be on his, like, I'm just picturing him like hanging off the train, like he's like a hobo, which is our primarily our audience. There's a couple of the folks here. Dre Owen says the highlight of my day, yeet, with yeet. A hell of a lot of exclamation points after. Lou 4237 says good Tuesday morning. We know what the 42 and 37 mean. That's how intimate we are with our fans here. That's I want to say Douglas Adams and Clerks are the references there. And then the Newark Teachers Union. First time I've been able to watch live in a while. Missed you guys.
Oh, man.
Shouldn't you be working right now? Like the children in Newark, of any city that needs their teachers paying attention, it's probably the fine folks in Newark. Oh, Mike Malaro's back. Been away last week or so. So first time watching live in a while. Missed you guys. Now we know Mike Malaro's travel schedule. What a deal. We know the WWE is finally traveling out of Philly, but they were still there last night, Marcus. And the big takeaway was that crowd has the same language you do.
Oh, yeah. A little nasty, a little gritty. But, hey, brother, they're in Philly. So, you know, that stuff is encouraged in that area.
So I don't mind the grittiness, the challenge that they've run into on WWE, especially during the opening promo, is they try to bleep the profanity. And
do a great job.
Guys, let's peel back the curtain on FCC regulations, because that's really what you're tuning in here for, folks. As Ms. Rosenworcel, the chairwoman of the FCC, has they've talked about it for years, there's something called a fleeting expletive. And you can control what someone who is holding a microphone is saying and bleep them. You really can't control fans and audience, anything like that. You can ask them not to curse, but if they're cursing, hey, you got to go with it. You watch an NFL game, and they'll cut to a coach on the sideline, and he's screaming at players, and he's using all kinds of language. They're not going to get a fine. More importantly, Marcus, it's on cable. They're not regulated by the FCC. So really, all you're talking about is advertisers. And if you watch WrestleMania, every square inch of your screen was covered with advertising. They're doing fine. They know you're going to get a couple of F-bombs. It really broke up the cadence of The Rock's promo, in my opinion, that they're sitting there trying to bleep the F-bombs that the audience are throwing out there. Does that stuff bug you, or are you just like, eh?
No, yeah, it doesn't bug me. It bugs me. It doesn't bug me that people are swearing, obviously. I love swearing. It's one of my favorite things to do. The attempting to bleep out the audience is just silliness. Look, I know that you're trying to service these advertisers, but these advertisers are looking at the return on investment that other advertisers have been getting from your product. And I'd venture to guess that it's been a pretty good return.
I think they're doing fine. You know, you got Hunter coming out there to say, like, this is the new era, that he doesn't want it to be called the Triple H era, but he doesn't want it to be called it in the way where it's kind of like, no, guys, come on, stop. Like, I guess, well, you have to. I guess, fine. But yeah, this is the Triple H era, and it's a huge box office numbers, record breaking of what they're doing there. He says, like, regardless, it's a new era. They bring out Cody. They show the production guys made a video for Cody. We see Cody crying again. I get that the Cody crybaby thing was a gimmick, but now he's living it. And then The Rock comes out, and you could tell this thing was going long in a hurry. Like, sorry, yeah. I heard the deep breath. I was waiting for you to say something.
I don't want to step on you because you were rolling, but look, I love Cody Rhodes. I love his passion. I love his ring work, but man, I think I've seen that guy cry more than my wife in like the 13 years I've been with her. You know,
so this is both a condemnation of Cody's emotions and your interpersonal relationship with your spouse.
Yeah, I don't know, I think that's what's really at the root of this is if my wife and I are gonna have to have a talk after this one. I'm sure she's listening. She loves
maybe that's stuff. What this will be. This can be a little marital counseling here, because you've been married for how many years now?
So I've been married for you're gonna get me in trouble.
And you cursed. Wow, you're
well, I'm stepping right in it right now. I've been with her since 2016, married since 2016. I've been with her for 11 years now. It's just every promo, and I get it. He's emotional, he's passionate. But man, at some point you've got to take that step as like, okay, I'm a baby face, but I'm also gonna kick your butt.
And I feel like that was sort of the pivot that we were getting here. The big, I don't want to say disappointment, because I think WrestleMania was incredible. I know we didn't have you on for Mania. Did you watch Mania, or were you busy just taking bumps?
I did watch Mania, no bumps over the weekend, and man, quite a show.
Hell of a show. I mean, we talked about it on here. I think, you know, there's lots of nitpick on it. We did, but overall, just a remarkable show, riding an emotional high. But I'm like, you really got to pivot the night after. And The Rock came out there, and I don't know if he just wanted to milk that time with the crowd, if he was getting lost or whatever it was, but he kept meandering. And I get that you love that the crowd is booing you and you're soaking this in. He soaked this in for a long time. This segment went like, I think about 47 minutes, which from a creative standpoint, from the guy who's had to help put together these run sheets, you're timing out your show, and now everything else on the show suffers. And you have to get to things. So now you have to start pulling match time from other people. You got to rearrange your commercial breaks, which means hour two and hour three, you're going to get a lot of commercials. And it's the same ads, so they're smushed together even further, which makes viewing the show that much more difficult. All for The Rock to kind of come out there. And the gist of it was just, hey, you finished your story with Roman. Our story has just begun. I got to go make a movie because I'm real world famous, not wrestling famous. And I got, you know, more important stuff to do.
Yeah, it's look, I hope that we're setting up for SummerSlam. That certainly appears to be the direction that we're taking. But to your point, it's like, man, there's only so many quarter hours, and The Rock just filled a lot of them. So it's, man, it's the other talent who's remaining there suffers as a result of that.
They do, but I think they know by now. It's not that, it's not the old Punk era where you're like, this guy's coming in and taking my spot. They're like, no, if The Rock's here, people are watching, we're getting ratings, everybody's happy, it's high fives all around. But I was hoping for more. I had said on the show before, I thought maybe this is where we're going to really see The Rock shift into an authority figure role, because you can do that while you're off filming a movie. You film a little 30-second YouTube clip, they put it up there, we're good. They teased it a little bit when Cody's like, so you're my boss and I'm your champion. But like the title swapping was a little awkward and forced, the staring at each other. Like I don't know what we were supposed to really take away from this, because before we're like, all right, we're totally going to get Cody and Rock. And this felt a little bit like Rock trying to slightly babyface just a bit with the handshake, but then he slipped him something, which, like, look, if it was your co-host Jake, I think we know what may have been slipped there in a previous life. Not anymore.
Not anymore.
Love Jake. But like, it's turning into Lost. Like, what did he whisper in his ear? What did he slip into his hand? What did the L mean instead of the finger? Like, guys, this isn't JJ Abrams. Like, let's
might be reading a little too deeply into it. You know, my hope is that The Rock, after all the disparaging remarks about Pharaoh, slipped him like a Petco gift card.
Ooh.
Right?
But now he knew what it was by feeling it. And the nice thing about that Petco gift card, he can use it for both Pharaoh and for QT Marshall. So who did you see? There's a creepy picture of Cody backstage at Mania, like outside by his bus with Ricky Starks and his kid, and QT is like lurking in the background. Like he's like he's just slightly off. It's so genuinely bone-shatteringly terrifying. It's why QT Marshall is my all-time favorite.
So he's like, I'm part of the group, just like from a removed standpoint, but I'm here, yeah. Pal.
I'm here too, guys, I promise. The rest of Raw, they kind of shot themselves in the foot. So they Raw after Mania, we know big surprises, which for years just meant Brock is back, but Brock's not allowed on anywhere near TV or a school, from what I understand. So they didn't have a big like new surprise name. Instead, we got some NXT folks. So you had Ilya Dragunov, who went out there and essentially squashed Nakamura just because they didn't have time. They probably cut a lot of time from this match. This felt like, we're going to give these guys a huge platform in front of a white hot crowd and make Dragunov. Instead, you got this truncated match that didn't really help anybody.
Yeah, I mean, you know, what stands out to me is that Nakamura keeps taking L's. I mean, what are your thoughts on that? Do you feel that he's Teflon enough to sustain
care.
It?
Yeah, he doesn't care. He is the epitome of what you want when you get a guy who comes over from New Japan, who earned his stripes for years, took all these hard bumps, and now it's just, look, put me wherever you want, pay me a decent amount of money, I will make whoever you want me to make look good, and I'm fine. It's kind of, that was the path I thought Okada was going to take. Instead, he's elsewhere. But Shinsuke, you hear that music and that crowd still pops for it. And he's still really, really good. They just put him in the world title picture a couple months ago. So you can slide him up and down the card. It doesn't matter. He's kind of like Rey Mysterio in that regard. But yeah, this one felt like it was clipped. The other kind of debut, but not really debut, was Roxanne Perez against Indy Hartwell. That match was like a minute long and it kind of stunk.
Yeah, it's, you know, I don't know if that's indicative of what Roxanne is capable of. You know, I think that she's got versatility is a word that really comes to mind with her. You know, a good as like a small heel, but she can also play the baby face really well. I think there's a lot left. You know, obviously we just got a glimpse, but there's more than meets the eye with her.
Yeah, no, I think we saw what she was able to do on Stand and Deliver. And when you give her time, you give her an opportunity, she knocks it out of the park. And guys, if you're looking to knock it out of the park, if you want to stand and deliver, then have we got something to talk about? Because this episode is sponsored by Blue Chew. Let's talk about sex. Guys, remember the days when you were always ready to go? Now you can increase your performance and get that extra confidence in bed. Visit BlueChew.com. Blue Chew is a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra, Cialis, and Levitra, but in chewable tablets and at a fraction of the cost. You can take them anytime, day or night, so you can plan ahead or be ready whenever an opportunity arises. The process is simple. Sign up at BlueChew.com, consult with one of their licensed medical providers, and once you're approved, you'll receive your prescription within days. The best part, Marcus, it's all done online. No visits to the doctor's office, no awkward conversations, and no waiting in line at the pharmacy. When you pop one of these Blue Chews, your lady's going to be using some language that they're going to need the censor. You're going to need that little five-second delay because Blue Chew wants to help you have better sex. Discover your options at BlueChew.com. Chew it and do it. And we've got a special deal for our listeners. Try Blue Chew free when you use our promo code Rumor at checkout. Just pay $5 shipping. That's BlueChew.com, promo code Rumor to receive your first month free. Visit BlueChew.com for more details and important safety information. And we thank Blue Chew for sponsoring this Raw After Mania edition of Rumor and Innuendo. I'll be honest, I didn't read the part of the run sheet where this was supposed to happen. It just felt organic. As soon as I heard Stand and Deliver, my like 10-year-old brain, 12-year-old, 10-year-old's old, that's not like 13, 14-year-old brain, went like, oh, no, I know where we can go with this. And there it was. We slipped it in, just like you can with Blue Chew.
Man, $5 shipping, free erections that we're giving out here on Rumor and Innuendo. I mean, brother, you know, there was some flooding in my basement. I need to knock down a wall down there. Maybe a little Blue Chew is going to come in handy.
Get that. If you want some flooding in her basement. That's all right. The other transition, because this show's gone off the rails. Like, hopefully not like Dom's train, because we need him back tomorrow.
Yeah.
But like, usually this is my mature show, like Wrestle Roast, which I do. It's three professional comics. I got to keep up with them. It gets dirty in a hurry. So when you said they're giving out free erections, I almost pivoted to the Jade Cargill match just to be like, for some of y'all, like we know some of the audience. Most of the audience, you're fine, upstanding people. Some of you guys were just like, I really hope it's Jade and you know Chelsea. And we got Jade and Chelsea, and it highlighted, we're putting this back here, one of the problems that I had with the Mania after Raw is they announced the draft. And the draft is coming up the end of April, which means all of their programming for the next few weeks is lame duck. Like, we don't know who's going to be on Raw, who's going to be on SmackDown. There's no long-term storytelling to build. So it's either pre-existing feuds or, you know, title shots to hopefully lead to something down the road. So we know next week we're going to get Sami Zayn versus Chad Gable in Montreal. They've already set that up. It's a great position to turn Gable heel since it's Sammy's hometown. And then maybe you pivot that to the premium live event in France. We know that now we're going to get Jey Uso versus Damian Priest, which is an easy, you throw that thing together. Same thing stemming off that match. The fact that Ricochet put Bronson through the table and they weren't part of the finish. Now you can do Ricochet and Bronson. And then Drew had Punk pulling his leg. You got that all set up. It's great for the short term, but you like to look what's coming down the path long term outside of Rock and Cody and their awkward romance.
Yeah, man, it's good to kind of see all the pieces start to fall into place. And, you know, here's a question for you, Robert, is, you know, Chad Gable looking like he's going to be turning heel. Do you turn him back to Shorty G?
Oh, God, yes. You know what? I'm hoping, if I was still sitting there with Paul Triple H Levesque during the Paul Triple H Levesque era, I would say you want Gable to see what Cody did. He overcame dashing. He overcame stardust. He left. He came back, and now he's this undeniable guy. And Gable being like, I'm an Olympian. You put me there as Shorty G. You put me there with this goof situation with Otis with the Alpha Academy, and I'm a catchphrase. I want him to be serious. I want him to be a killer. And I think using what the Cody blueprint was maybe the path forward. I think we're onto something here. I think we're making money.
Imagine the story you can tell with a guy who's that size, who's just such a good shooter that it doesn't matter how big his opponent is. And especially if you position that person as a heel, I think naturally the fans will eventually turn babyface. But you make him a heel, and it's like, man, I want to hate this guy because he gets on my nerves, but he's just too good.
You make him unstoppable, almost like Taz. Yeah, like that was kind of Taz's shtick for a while. Gable legitimately is intense. The problem with him is he's very funny. I've known Chad for a while. He's got a great sense of humor, but when he turns it on, there's an intensity. It's like, oh, this guy, kind of like Kurt Angle, can absolutely just mangle you. And I feel like that's where we're going with that. A couple other news stories that Dom put in the rundown here. So the Hall of Fame, we didn't really get a chance to talk about it yesterday, but I think Paul Heyman's speech, which now in hindsight you realize was sort of a goodbye for now, was this amazing one-man show career retrospective of the guy who's bitter that he got fired by WCW, the guy that can still be the Rebel Outlaw ECW owner, the guy who can still do the advocate, who can still do the special counsel. And he played all of those parts. And I thought it was one of the probably best Hall of Fame speeches of all time.
Unbelievable. And to your point, calling it a one-man show is really probably the perfect description. And, you know, I saw that a lot of fans online were like, why do you put Paul on first? It's not fair to the rest of the talent. And it's like, that was followed up by, you know, it's Jim. One of the things that Jim Duggan has said on our podcast is when you're following a really hot match, what you want to do is grab a hold on the guy and bring the audience back down. And I think that that's exactly what Medusa did with her speech about Bull Nakano, where she, it was very subdued and it was a whole other vibe than what we got from Paul Heyman. And I don't think that following that became an issue.
No. And this is the tricky, evil, bad, dark side of this whole situation. When you're looking at the inductees and they're going, you got to open with Paul, because if Paul closes and you've just sat through an hour and a half of speeches, the wrestlers hate the Hall of Fame. It is their least favorite thing of the year. Not because they don't have reverence and respect for the inductees. Not because they don't want to be there. They know they've got WrestleMania. Some of these guys have a call time of 7:30 the next morning. Someone I spoke to was like, I got to be there at 7:30 tomorrow morning. I'm exhausted. It's my biggest day of the year, my biggest weekend of the year. And I'm sitting here listening to these speeches. I just want to get back to my hotel. I want to get to rest. If it's a 7:30 call time, I want to get to the gym. Like, I got to get my routine going. That's not the day to disrupt people's routines, because you want them at their A game. So if Paul closes and he starts going a little long, you're going to get that shifting in their seat restlessness. And they didn't want that. They knew that the audience was primed and ready, because if they were flat for that Paul speech, it would have sucked. Like, they were at that right point of SmackDown just ended. They're white hot. And the reason you put Medusa and Bull Nakano on next is you have to, like, do the polite, like, well, I'm not going to be a jerk and leave because it's the women. I guess I got to stick around and clap for them. And there's people that are there, because there's people I've worked with who have that mentality. And they're like, this is how we're going to keep them. They're going to have to sit, because you're not going to get up and leave because of it being a woman that's being inducted. And then you're not going to leave the US Express thing because of the Bray tribute. So we know we got you anchored there. The Ali stuff, well, hey, here comes The Rock. Now you want to see The Rock, but it's The Rock just being earnest. So you know you want to see what's going to happen at the end, because if you're closing with his grandmother, you're going to get an angle. And you did kind of get an angle. So they found a way to keep enough people intrigued and hooked, but it's a very long show after a two-hour SmackDown. That's all to be saying. Yeah, that's why Paul opened.
Yeah, and look, it's, you kind of want like a little bit of a roller coaster. We started on a real high, and then we took a dip, and right back up and down, and that's what we got. And not to call Medusa's thing and Bull Nakano's thing a dip, you know, the
raw. You fully just called the women a dip.
Oh,
that was
boy.
Great. Look, when they came out, I just went, boy, Marcus was like, the quality on this show
just nosedive. Boy, I'm going to get an angry phone call, but no, it was a different vibe, a different flavor. You know, the raw emotion that you saw between Bull and Medusa, I was like, what a nice way to follow up something that was so over the top and so charismatic as what Paul Heyman did.
Yeah, I thought it worked well. The vulgarity of Heyman's speech was a hell of a lot of fun. The reactions that you got, I don't know if you saw. There's a clip online because it was from a wider angle, so it wasn't what they were showing. When Paul told people to utilize their mouths on his Blue Chew region, they're in the wide shot, Randy Orton's reaction, he immediately stands up and starts pounding the ring like he's going to do an RKO. You have never seen a man happier in his life. And Cody, the effing nerd that he is, immediately whipped his head to go look at Hunter and be like, is this okay? Like, are we allowed to say this? It's just, it's the beauty of wrestling at its finest. I absolutely loved it. I think the world of Paul, I have a great personal connection with Paul that is very meaningful, that if we had more time, I would get into it now. But we don't, because we have other stuff to talk about. Dave Meltzer, big friend of the show, the guy who said there was going to be 8,000 people in Australia because he's just always accurate, said for a quote about Rollins, well, Seth, he's taking time off for an injury. I don't know about Becky, but Seth, I heard it's not long, but it's a knee thing. He just needs to rest the knee for a while.
That's really good.
It helps. It's just you put your brain in a very messed up place. Like if a human was replaced by a robot and you fed the AI robot a lot of Japanese wrestling, that's what comes out.
It's Dave Meltzer.
I'm all for Seth taking some time off. Seth kind of, you know, I made the joke yesterday. He was like the groundskeeper Willie from the Simpsons Halloween special of WrestleMania. He fails night one. He fails to retain his title. He puts on the Shield gear. He goes out there. He fails again. I'm okay with Seth taking a little bit of time off and healing himself up here, Marcus.
Yeah, that definitely stuck out to me right away, especially when it's like, oh man, the Shield music hits, like, okay, the Shield, we're all pumped up. Let's see this. Gets in the ring and just, okay, never mind. He's down. That's the end of that. but yeah, when that happened, I was like, he has to be taking time off, or else the most reasonable people who are trying to continue competing would say, like, hey, maybe don't completely bury me, just like bury me a little.
I think he knows he's pretty safe no matter where they put him. Another guy who's safe right now is Damian Priest. According to WWE Digital, Priest said, it's been a great year for me. New contract, new title, new theme song. Judgment Day is on fire. So Priest confirming that he has signed a new contract. So he's going to be sticking around for a while, Marcus.
Man, I'll ask you, what do you think his maximum potential is?
We're there.
This is it. We've made it.
He cashed in his Money in the Bank briefcase. He looked intelligent by waiting and doing it. He's now become a world champion. I still think his character is so underdeveloped. They don't really know who he is. He's not the face. He's not the franchise. They didn't open Raw with him. He's the champion of Raw. Cody is the champion of SmackDown. It feels like Cody is your WWE champion. Damian Priest also has a title. Like, it's like when Eddie Kingston won those like three belts, and I will call AEW titles belts.
Oh, wow. All right. Shots fired over there. But yeah,
real breaking news there that they've devalued some of their championships. Well, I got a title, but it's three titles and they merge together like a Power Ranger. And then I wear it, but then I defend them and then I lose them all. And then I'm not on TV for 6 months.
It's a good system they got going over there. And yeah, it's look, that belt seems like it has been just
that what?
There. The championship. It seemed like it's just there. Like, what's the point this whole time? It's, you know, I get it. It can be a storytelling device, but thus far it really hasn't been, except for when they told the story at that press conference in Vegas that it was not very important.
Yeah, no, I feel like with Priest, I would imagine him and Judgment Day will wind up on SmackDown and they'll keep Cody on Raw, because you don't go to Netflix with Damian Priest as your flagship champion. It feels like Cody's the guy you want for the, you know, $1 billion deal that they just signed with them. So I would imagine we'll see a Switch and Priest in the Judgment Day, who are wildly talented. I loved the bit with those guys and Cena and R-Truth on Raw. I thought that was a fun little moment. One last fun little moment before we wrap it up here is they finally aired a video package that Sheamus has been found. He was, you know, lost in the wilderness. He was in Marcus's basement. Then the flood, he rose up and like, oh, look, there's Sheamus. He's back, guys. Are you excited for the return of Sheamus, Marcus?
I'm excited for the possibility of a repackage. I think that he could use it. Let's get a fresh paint of coat on him, as Bruce Pritchard might say. I'm hopeful that they'll do it the right way. Cautiously optimistic, let's call it.
He was... having a lot of fun before he left. I think, you know, the stuff that he was doing with Butch, he was having a good time. He was having great matches. That what I will consider Edge's retirement match was a great match. I loved his match last year with Gunther and Drew. A part of me thought that there was a path where Drew was going to be world champion. Sheamus was going to be his challenger when they go to Clash at the Castle. You could still kind of get there at some point, but I think Sheamus has really figured it out. He's fun, and I'd like to not think about Sheamus's package, but that would be a good segue to another Blue Chew ad. But
if only.
We are out of time today. Marcus, I know you briefly mentioned some of the folks you work with. Where else can our viewers and listeners find you?
Man, you've got to check us out on YouTube for all my podcasts. The only way to hear Jim Duggan's podcast is at youtube.com/@everybody'sgotapod. So that's a Ted DiBiase podcast feed. However, Jim is there exclusively. And we also do exclusive clips from Ted's podcast as well that you will not hear on the main show. So if you love what you're hearing, man, you're not getting the full story. Now, on the Jake side, it's youtube.com/@snakepitpod. We're also available on your podcast app. You can find us there. But we do exclusive episodes on our YouTube channel every so often, including one where we brought in Baby Doll to give us more of the story behind Jake's time in WCCW. So listen, if you like what we're doing, you are missing a ton of it. Go over to YouTube and get subscribed.
And our normal co-host, your brother, my brother, not through blood, Dominic D'Angelo, has Rob Van Dam's podcast that drops every Monday at 4:20. Clever. And then he's got another podcast with Gagne and Magnum that drops on Tuesday. So he'll show up for that.
This
not so much. But the last thing he wants to do is piss off Magnum TA. And that's not a bad way to live your life. I'm genuinely terrified.
Now, what about you, Robert? Where can they find all your stuff, brother?
Well, you can find my other podcast, Wrestle Roast, wherever you get your audio podcasts, Spotify, iTunes, and the like. Same place you can get the audio version of this show, Rumor and Innuendo, drops every afternoon. In case you miss our live stream, you can go back and watch our live stream across a variety of social media platforms, including the WWCreative_ISHX account, SE Scoops X account, Podcast Heats X account. Podcast Heat is who makes this show possible, and the Dominic D'Angelo X account, as well as on YouTube, on Rumor and Innuendo. And despite Jeff Jarrett's protests, despite his begging, his pleading, come on, Connie, I'm begging you, man, I'll buy another house. We are still allowed on the ad-free show's YouTube page. So take that, Double J. Marcus, thank you for joining us here today. This was a blast. And I'll forgive the one fleeting expletive that popped out. Go give your wife a hug. I feel like on behalf of the maritally questionable Marcus D'Angelo, I'm Robert Karpolis. Best of luck in your future endeavors.